Well, Fairhope City Council member Jack Burrell just walked in the door and sat down. I said, "Do you need a song to catch your breath, or are we ready to roll? Are you ready to roll? You're always ready to roll, aren't you, Jack?"
I am. Good morning. Good morning, Fairhope.
Good morning. Hope you had a nice weekend, and looking forward to tonight's city council meeting. The work session's got quite a few things on it.
Yes, it does.
I thought we might want to talk about first seven items. Number one, compensation and classification plan. Is that looking at the way we pay people and give them benefits?
It is. You know, we have the so-called Auburn study, because it was led by a group of academics from Auburn University to look at our job classification and our compensation, did a compensation study to make sure that we were paying people fairly. And so we're going to get some results of that. I mean, I don't think it takes a genius to figure out, with this inflation and with the labor shortages that we have in this country, that, you know, we have to stay competitive. It's difficult for the city to retain employees, just like it is in every business. Mm-hmm. If you're a business owner, you know that. And so we want to make sure that we're paying people a fair wage, and also we also not just a fair wage, but we need to remain competitive. And I'll give you a little more insight into that, Lori, because this is a really, really important subject tonight. And in the last meeting, now I've been kind of paying attention to this labor market, and I know that just retaining employees, we train them and then they leave for a higher paying job, and so we want to make sure that we pay our people. So at the last meeting, I had made the suggestion, and we need to, you know, get away from this, you know, 2%, 3% raise. And we give merit raises in addition to that, but just flat raises, you know, just a base raise has been, you know, since I've been on the council, mostly 3% and sometimes 2%. We've always given the employees a raise, though we've never not given them a raise. And some people call that a cost of living, but inflation has been less than that most years. So we've really given them a raise. Well, inflation is not that now. So they're really seeing a hit to their standard of living, and I had suggested we consider a minimum of 5%, and I think that, and I did it, you know, admittedly in a council meeting, because I wanted to get legs. It's, you know, when you say that, when you put that out there in a council meeting, it you know, has a little more meaning. But the mayor and the council seem to be agreeable with that. I heard from council president Jimmy Conyers last night that the mayor wants to maybe put that in sooner rather than later. You know, he said, well, to your comments, you know, she wants to do that now. And I said, well, I wanted to do it during the budget cycle, but I think the mayor may make a case to do it now because of attrition. And we'll just have to look at the numbers and see if it makes sense. So, and I talked to the police chief one day last week, and I said, you know, faced with the, you know, higher wages for your officers or, you know, shiny new gadgets, what would they rather have? And I said, I think they'd rather have the money in their pocket. And I think this is the year that we need to take care of our employees. And that's not to say we're going to do without capital expenditures, but this is the year we take care of them right now. We'll worry about some of that other stuff later.
Very good. And that is on the work session. So it won't be necessarily walked on the agenda and approved tonight, but it could be.
No, I don't think so. No, okay. I don't think so. I don't think we're planning on that.
Work session begins at 4:30, by the way, in City Council Chambers. You can watch it live or later on the City of Fairhope YouTube channel. Number two, second floor project, love our Fairhope Library.
Yeah, I think this may be just a presentation from the library. I don't think that the council put this on there. This is something that's coming from them. I don't know if they are coming to the city yet to, I'll just have to wait for the work session to ask for money or just give us a briefing of what's going on with our library.
What's on the second floor now?
Well, you know, Coastal Alabama had part of their nursing school up there for a long, long time. They had a lease. And since that time, I know that they were wanting to put some teenage facilities up there, a place for young people. So I know that they've converted some of that into that. But I think they've really been waiting to rebuild this, rebrand this, you know, just like they're indicating in this title tonight. So there hasn't been as much activity as you would think. There's some, you know, but there's some meeting rooms up there on the second floor, boardrooms, and Like I said, the vast majority of it was occupied by coastal Alabama through a lease with the city of Fair Oak for years.
But is not anymore.
But okay. They're not, no.
Number three, a proposal for reduction in rates and fields at Quail Creek Golf Course during downtime with temporary greens and greens resurfacing project. I saw a picture of the greens and was shocked. You normally see lush, green, beautiful, perfect grass at a golf course. I understand ours slacked in maintenance in between golf managers, or can you give
us that's the excuse that was given, Lori. I think that's right, that's the excuse that was given. Let me say that again. I think that it was a poor decision on an employee's part to perform a very stressing cut on the greens at a time at which it was not supposed to have been done. I don't know that they knew what they were doing, and it killed many of the greens out there. And they're making a big comeback, though. I heard that, well, we were in between the greens. The head guy, head greenskeeper, and this person went out there without supervision and did it. But you don't do something radical if you don't know what you're doing. Nobody's been held accountable for that. Which doesn't make me very happy. I get really tired of, doesn't cut it. It's the city's golf course. And, I didn't hear anything from management that said, how are we going to rectify it? All I heard from management was, give us money to fix the problem. And a couple of the council members said, how do we prevent this in the future?
Right.
Well, there wasn't any management. Well, tell them to don't go out there and do some kind of radical green cut. That's real simple.
Well, you're a golfer,
yeah.
So you...
There was no excuse in this person doing that when the greens were dormant, in my opinion. No, I'm upset about it. And I think everybody in the city should be upset about it. And I think we need to hold management accountable for it. And I don't think we have.
There was apparently, though, not a golf pro or golf manager of the course at that time.
Well,
right?
Bobby Hall, the director of golf, he should be in charge of all the employees out there. And we've got the rec department involved some, but the people cutting the grass, he should certainly be able to say, don't go out there and verticut those greens this time of the year.
Oh, so there was, and Bobby Hall was in place.
Yeah, Bobby Hall was in place.
Okay.
Yep. So, I'm not blaming him necessarily. I don't know if this employee just went out there. There's been some rumor, I'll call it, that that the former employee, one of them out there, went rogue and may have intentionally done it. We're not saying, if this city's getting scared to talk. Everybody's scared to talk in public. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there, Lori.
Do you think this might be a matter that goes before the personnel board?
No, this person's gone. The person's gone, they're not going to blame. Nobody wants to blame the guy that got on the mower and cut it. But what I'm saying is, the person that got on the mower and cut it, if they didn't know what they were doing, they shouldn't have been out there cutting grass to begin with.
And they're now gone.
No, they are there. The supervisor's gone. Remember,
okay.
The supervisor's gone.
Okay.
So there should be some supervision. I don't have a degree in turf management, but I know you don't do certain things with those greens out there when the greens are dormant, when the grass is not growing. Somebody at that golf course should have known that.
So how much is it going to cost to fix? What have
they asked for? Well, we approved, I think, roughly $80,000 to rebuild eight greens. Yeah, it's just another $80,000 mistake.
Course,
unbudgeted $80,000. Oh, it's just, hey, it's $80,000 here. It's $250,000 for, the street over there that fell in. I mean, every day.
At a golf course that's already still losing money, is
it
not?
Yeah, this is not a money-making venture. That's why, I'm a little bit concerned to see this temporary reduction in rates and fees. Well, the course is open. And they're trying to keep people there. They want to extend the membership. So I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, it's not unusual to have to do construction to a course, and most of the time the golfers live with it. At Lakewood, I'm a member down there, and at Lakewood, if they tear up both courses, well, that's tough. You keep paying your dues.
Well, it's kind of like us taking detours around
exactly
three different
They didn't pause our taxes,
yeah,
did they?
No.
And so I don't know how I feel about that. Everybody wants to game the system.
Well, I think we all do now.
Everybody wants to game the system. Nobody wants to take responsibility.
We are speaking with Fairhope City Council member Jack Burrell here at WABF. It is 836, 85 degrees, heat advisory in effect. looks like the possibility of some new sidewalks along.
Yeah, that's a great idea right
Blue
there.
Blue Island. And the discussion of additional funding for projects. Any idea what that is?
I have no idea what that is.
I mean, often on a work session, it might be the first time the council hears of a proposed idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Additional funding when we're going to be giving big raises to people and everything else. I don't know what that means.
Well, it could be some of these current projects going over budget. I mean, we've got...
It might be, you know... We've got. I hope it's not anything going over budget.
Electrical upgrade on Nichols. We've got the Church Street infrastructure project on Church, and we've got the sewer main project on Fairhope Avenue. Do you have any updates or information you want to give?
I do.
On,
I have a
those?
Lot of updates on that. How long do you want to spend on that?
Well, I got about 20 minutes.
Well, we can get through the agenda. We can talk about this for a long time because.
Well, why don't we hit a couple of things on the agenda and then come back to that?
Yeah, let's do that because let's get back to that. I have an absolutely ton of information on that.
Then we'll move to the agenda. Tonight's meeting is at 6 p.m. There's a public hearing to alter the City of Fairhope zoning ordinance in districts B3A and B3B shall be amended to allow hotel, motel use on special conditions and bed and breakfast on special conditions. What, tell us about this.
Well, I think, you know, there's actually, we've been tweaking some of these zoning, there is one zoning ordinance, but different sections of it recently.
What is B3? And we've got B3A and
B3 is a tourist resort district. B3B is some other similar, I'm not sure what B3B is. We'll find out. B3A is tourist resort. It's probably a, you know, it's a business, obviously, from the B, and 3 kind of designates tourist. I'm not sure what the difference is between B3A and B3B, but what I know what this is doing, you have allowed by right. If you are a bed and breakfast and you are allowed in a certain zoning district, let's just say a B3A now, then that means you don't have to have any special approvals. But if you have to make it conditional upon appeal, it gives the city a way to say no if something just completely absurd comes in and wants to build something within a zoning. They just can't do it. You know, the zoning board, it either goes to Planning Commission or Board of Adjustments. A lot of times Board of Adjustments, and they can say, well, yeah, we think this fits with our city, or no, we don't think it fits with the city. But if you do it by right only, we never get that chance to deny it.
I think what you're saying is the way the zoning is currently in place, the council can't say yay or nay.
Right.
It's just done.
Right.
This way,
if it's by right,
this way it has to go through the Planning Commission.
Well, I think
the
it'll
board
go.
Of adjustments,
no, I think it'll
and
only go to the Board of Adjustments.
The Board of Adjustments, because it's an appeal.
Right.
In an appeal, you have to have a special circumstance or hardship.
Well, not for this, not for that. That's a slightly different function of the Board of Appeals and Adjustments. That's for a variant. This wouldn't be a variant. This would just be for a consideration. It's on appeal, but that doesn't mean, you know, when you get a variant, you have to have a hardship. So that means you're varying from the law. This would be within the law, but you still have to get approval.
Appeal
now,
the to
argument
special
about
condition.
That, you did, since the city council is responsible for zoning and rezoning, there's been some discussion, I know, among myself and Councilman Corey Martin as to whether or not that should come to the city council. Now, there's two ways to look at that.
Well, if you approve this, then it already has come to the council.
Well, not everything, though.
The special use wouldn't.
The special use wouldn't, but, you know, sometimes you want to take the politics out of it, but sometimes you may get something that every single person in the city is against. What if the Board of Appeals approves it and the council doesn't have a say? It can work both ways.
But
everybody opposes it and they approve it, well, the council can say, well, we didn't approve it.
Well, what are you going to do tonight about that?
Well, I'm going to talk about that. It's really a tough call because I know that on some other uses, I think council should have the final say if we're in charge of zoning and not Board of Adjustments. Of course, the Board of Adjustments is appointed by the council. So, you know, we want to get people that, you know, are unbiased, that are going to listen to the argument, make good decisions.
Speaking of, while we're on the topic of this bed and breakfast, hotel, motel, does this have anything to do with the Jubilee Suites bed and breakfast and the lawsuit that's going on about that?
None whatsoever that I am aware of. None whatsoever that I'm aware of. Okay. Because, like I said, there's another one coming. It just went to the industrial board, and we brought it up in the last meeting, and that is like a B3A. I'm sorry, not B3A. A, it is allowed in B3A, but M1 light industrial does not allow for I'm gonna call it a doggy daycare, for lack of a better term.
Right.
I mean, what other zoning would be more appropriate for something like, you know, dogs to be taken care of than light industrial? Because it's allowed in B3A, tourism resort, and it's allowed in B2.
Mm-hmm.
That make more sense to be in light industrial, and make more sense to be downtown Fairhope?
Well,
so we're tweaking things like that too.
Okay. Okay. Let's see here. Resolution number 7 to hire professional engineering services for the Fairhope Clock Plaza.
Yeah, that's been something ongoing for, you know, since we first started talking about the clock corner, you know, when Single Tax partnered with the city of Fairhope, and we paid a king's ransom for that corner, which I was in favor of. I mean, it's very iconic, probably the most iconic corner in the city of Fairhope. And, you know, there were some plans put forth a couple of years ago, and, you know, we had to wait for the time to get the funding. And now that now it's time to you know, the mayor put out some suggestions, some proposals, and said, would you like to see this or would you like to see that? And there were 3 or 4 or 5 different proposals put out there, and we chose the one that we liked and asked the mayor to go forward. So this would allow the mayor to go ahead and engage with the architect, the landscape architect that had provided some of those options to us, to move forward with the design so that we can finally, you know, beautify that corner. I'm excited about that project, Lori. I think that it's a long time.
This is going to turn it more into a picnic type area, a place you can sit and eat
shade
lunch.
There'll be some trees planted, there'll be some seating, so you know, you don't just walk across it. You could actually sit down and enjoy it, hopefully peacefully.
Speaking of the clock, why does it take 16 weeks to fix it?
You know,
is that just today's world? I mean,
why can't you get but one bid on a project or no bid on projects sometimes? It's so hard to find people.
Because the clock is not running, or it's not running properly.
I've received a couple of phone calls about that. Not a lot, but yeah, it needs to run, and I'm sure that we're working on it. I, to be honest, I don't know the exact reason, but I could only assume it's either you can't get a part or you can't get the labor, or both.
Okay. Let's see. Police department. Oh, here we go. You're talking about new gadgets or higher pay. $87,000, number 9, for 2 Ford Police Interceptor utility vehicles.
Well, these were budgeted.
Right.
And I think what they did was they had to change the type of vehicle that they had requested, and it changed the cost somewhat, because anybody that's tried to buy a new or used vehicle knows that vehicles are in short supply. You know, if you look at the price, and that's completely outfitted, and you think about what a new vehicle costs, you know, this is a Ford Police Interceptor all-wheel drive. These are beefed up, you know, have hot engines and, you know, and all the bells and whistles, lights that all the police need. You know, 2 vehicles for $87,000.
That's reasonable.
Really, very reasonable, I think.
We're going to skim over some things because I want to get back to the construction projects, but let's move to number 13. The city of Fairhope accepts and approves the name of Triangle Drive at the request of ALDOT, so that portion of 104 between, say, the Flower Clock or Scenic 98 and 98 needs to have a different name, apparently.
Right. It's no longer going to be referred to as a State Highway 104. And, you know, we need to ask that question and why. Maybe they don't want the maintenance on it. And maybe it's time for them not to have the maintenance on that. Maybe it is time to turn
And for some reason, I was thinking it had also something to do with emergency response.
Yeah, it could. We'll get the lowdown on that. But, you know, to me, that's somewhat immaterial. It probably should belong to the city. And so we had to come up with a name for that stretch of road.
I see.
I'm not real enamored with Triangle Drive. Everybody refers to it as Triangle. We tried to come up with several things. You know, Fly Creek flows to the north of that property, the north side of the Triangle property. And, of course, this is on the very south side of it. And the old name is Fly Creek is rather incorrectly called Fly Creek. The true Indian name is Flying Creek, F-L-Y-I-N-G. And I worked with Dr. Barry Booth, who, you know, he owned some of the land just to the north of Fly Creek, and he's somewhat of a historian or a history buff. And I tried to, I did contact him. I said, is there an Indian name for Flying Creek? Maybe something catchy. And apparently there's no word in that language that would work to rename that drive. But we tried to come up, and there were three or four other names that were thought of that conflicted with other names throughout the city. So somebody came up with Triangle Drive.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of bland. I think it's boring, but I'm not going to vote against it because I don't have a better idea right now. But that's what that's about.
Anything else on the agenda you want to mention before we go to an update on our project?
No, I think we got to, the rest is just some purchases and some appointments to some committees.
All right. Pretty so we have stuff. The electric upgrade. If you're joining the program late, Nichols Avenue between Young and School will be closed this week through Thursday. Portions of Nichols have been closed for a few weeks now for that upgrade. Then we've got the Church Street Infrastructure Project closing Church Street between Fairhope Avenue and Delamar. And then we also have the Sewer Main Project that's closing Fairhope Avenue between 98 Orgrino and Ingleside. And you're looking at your phone.
I'm just going to run through a lot of things that are going on. We can go in depth. We've got, as you mentioned, the Nichols Avenue substation. We're going to be energizing that in the next couple of weeks.
That's the new substation?
That's the new substation.
That's across 98, right. Just past the brewery and all that.
Oh, no. No, this would be the one that is there
at the corner
on... I can't think of the cross street there.
Young.
Young Street. Young? Thank you. It is Young.
Young and Nichols. Yeah, the new one.
Across the street from the old one.
Right.
And that's not going to be, it's not going to be fully up and running yet. We still can't have it fully up and running until we get the one that's further out, Nichols Avenue.
That I just mentioned.
That you were mentioning. It's across 98. But the construction of that is really going quickly. I mean, there's a lot of activity going on out there. And, you know, I know that there's probably still some concerns. But when you drive by there, unless you have your head turned right at it, that's with no tree cover, you barely even notice it. It sits off the road quite a ways. And once we get some trees planted up front of that, you'll probably never know it's there.
Do we have a timeline on that?
Oh, I'd say in the next, I think all that will be wrapped up in 6 months at the latest.
Okay.
All of it. And then that means all of our substations are going to be, you know, working together. Tied in together, and for all intents and purposes, that $12-13 million electrical upgrade that we were worried about 3 years ago will be behind us. Let's just hope we can get through the summer and without having
and hurricane season,
and hurricane season. But especially with the peak heat in July and August, we don't want to. Radio. We've had some electrical outages. They've been due to squirrels and animals and things like that, though.
What about the Church Street Infrastructure Project?
Yeah, and the Church Street Infrastructure actually caused a power outage.
All the way to Fells. Yeah, it did, what was that, Friday? One day last week caused a power outage downtown.
Yeah.
But they are literally going, 30 feet under the road?
Yeah, they're probably 10 everything. To 15 feet at times. But so the storm. The stormwater collection is complete. The concrete work, curb gutter, and sidewalk is advancing south from the intersection of Delamar. The sewer and the water progressing to St. James already. And it should start accelerating as we move past the intersection of St. James. And that's probably just because there's not the density there.
Right,
there's
right. You've got the park and the
A lot of the park is not, you know, as many fronts on that. The school is there, so it's going to get a little bit easier. You don't have to deal with traffic that wants to come down Delamar and reroute all of that. So another big thing going on, you heard about the Arts Alley, which is back there by the parking garage. We received one bid, I believe, on that. We received none, and then received one, and then we put it out for a rebid, and the advertisement's been put out again, and we're waiting for the bid opening to occur for that. So let's cross our fingers and hope for some good prices for that, because that's going to really be a beautiful project for the city of Fairhope and really draw attention to the parking. So, you know, I'd say don't drive around looking for a parking spot. Just pull in a parking garage. There's always parking there. You'll be much happier if you do that as opposed to driving around trying to park.
And you have the free shuttle available Monday through Friday from 10 to 2 right now.
Absolutely. We have a downtown parking shuttle.
Need to expand.
Please utilize that. Please just, you know, call them and they'll pick you up. They'll take you where you want to go and they'll come back and pick you up. It's wonderful.
It is, but it's only Monday through Friday, 10 to 2.
Well, I mean, until it gets greater use, that's really the only time there's parking issues. We will maybe expand that as necessary, but until such time, we'll keep it 4 hours a day, and we're paying somebody to do that. And please, 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 park in that garage, utilize that shuttle. There's a lot more going on. I mean, there's docks, dredging, bulkheads, working waterfront has been completely submitted now. We ought to be getting some, you know, maybe that's going to start taking place here in the next year, hopefully. Turn lanes and signal upgrades at Gayfer Road, the bid opened.
Oh, the bid is now open.
It's
so
open.
It's still
it only
way
went
way.
Up $25,000 from the same bidder as before.
Mm. You talk and, about another bottleneck, though.
It's terrible. It's dangerous, dangerous.
Close Greeno on each side one at a time at 98 while turning lanes are installed, just like what happened at Twin Beach. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. Did they close 98 one lane at a time?
No. Closing Gayfer.
Yeah, they'll close Gayfer. Well, I don't know how they could close Gayfer.
Each side.
One at a time.
No, each side. Yeah. One at a time.
Right.
Like they did with Twin Beach.
Right. Well, there's several cut throughs, though, on Gayfer. You can go to the south and exit, and there's also a couple little alleyways there as you approach Gayfer. If you're approaching from the east, there's two roads. Bishop will cut over to, I forget the name of that road it runs into, and there's a little alleyway that'll cut over. So there are some workarounds there. People will figure that out in due time, but it's necessary. Once it's said and done, it'll be much safer and much better for traffic.
Let's talk just a minute or two about the sewer main upgrade that's happening on Fairhope Avenue.
Okay, the sewer main, let me see if I have that. I don't know that I have an update on that right now.
Okay. What about the docks you mentioned?
I do have some news on that. Yep, I'm looking at my notes here. The force main at Fairhope Avenue is ahead of schedule. The completion is still set for October.
Okay. And how far do they have to go? They got to cross over 98 or not?
I don't think so. I think that
they're already laying pipe on the other side.
They call the doghouse there. It comes down somewhere around Ingleside. It comes into Fairhope Avenue, what I think I recall. I'm not sure if it crosses there. It's certainly not going to be it.
They've laid pipe already. You know, they ran in front of Piggly Wiggly with their big pipes and all. So maybe they don't have to close.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't seen the plans to go through that intersection. Okay. So I'm not sure if that's the way it goes. It may come north of there. I'm sorry, south of there and then cross 98. But I'll get you an answer on that.
Okay.
That's a good question. I should know that answer. But that's just one. I'm not sure where the engineering design takes that pipe.
Okay. Anything else briefly before we run out of time?
No, I appreciate the time. Letting us try to educate the citizens about what's going on in the city of Fairhope. I know I was a little charged up at the beginning, but, you know, it's, oh my gosh, some of the stuff, it gets a little trying, and I think we just need to hold people accountable. We can't, you know, be afraid to hold people accountable and demand the best from people. If they want more and more and more, well, you know, we've got to see some return.
And now you've got a proposal to give employees even more of an incentive to be the best with another 5% raise.
Yeah, you know, the whole passing the buck just concept in this whole country, I'll get on my national soapbox here, just seems to be a trend. Nobody's responsible for anything anymore, as you know. When I was getting on to my son once, several months ago, every time he'd do something, well, it was never his fault. You know how it is when they're growing up.
Oh,
it's always an excuse. Anyway, right. I'm pretty hard on that. So,
thank you, Jack. We really appreciate your service and your frankness. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It is 8:56, 86 degrees.